It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Back here on the Drive, hour number 2. Underway, it begins with the Top 4 at 4. Tucker Harlan, who is furiously fidgeting with his chair. You good there, buddy?
The headphone cord was stuck underneath my chair there for that. A second. We got to fix that. We're all good.
What do you got today?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee running back Cam Seldon will miss the remainder of spring practice.
All right. Nobody panic.
Seldon injured his shoulder and had surgery to repair it.
Damn it.
Better now than to be in fall camp.
I thought the same thing.
Dude, I'm telling you guys, that is the curse of the look how good he looks in his uniform. Like, you can't. I hate it so much. First day, and everyone's like, oh, my God, look at him. He looks like Derrick Henry. It's a curse.
So, like, what's the worst shoulder thing? Separation, reconstructive shoulder surgery, that's a fairly common football injury
for a running back
operation, right? We don't know what that is, but let's say that's what it is.
Could have been a tweak in a scope, but yeah.
Yeah, let's just assume worst-case scenario for the purposes of, like, when he's going to be packed. If that's what it is, is that a 3-month recovery? Like, could he be back by fall camp?
What, like completely separated or like sprain that AC joint?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I'm wondering, is it going to be a thing where he's RB2, right? He's supposedly RB2.
Yeah, yeah.
And are we going to get into a situation where, okay, it's fall camp, and we know what we have in Sampson. Don't want to risk getting him hurt. And we like Seldon, but we don't want to risk injury. And so we're going into that first game. Thank God it's Chattanooga. Without running backs who have taken any contact. Am I catastrophizing this?
A little bit. I mean, we won't know because we don't. We don't know what the injury is. I mean, did he tear his labrum? Did he separate his shoulder? Did he dislocate it?
Well,
break something?
Hopefully, just wish him a swift and speedy recovery. Is it more opportunities for Kiz Khalifa, and
Chief Khalifa,
our boy from
Deshaun
Carnes,
Bishop,
the Beaver. I saw a video today from the 1980s. Now that we're way off in the weeds, beavers being parachuted into a national park.
Oh, I've heard about that.
What?
Beavers. They're parachuting them in. They needed some beavers in this park, I guess, to build a dam or something. And so they boxed them up and parachuted them in.
And then when the thing would hit the ground, that cage would open and they could walk out.
Yeah.
And do their thing.
That was the most effective way to do that?
Evidently.
All right.
Have you not seen how quick they can completely mess up?
No, I know that, but flying them in just seems.
In boxes and then parachuting them.
Yeah. Like, did someone go get the boxes in the parachute? Because if you're going to drive in there to get stuff.
I'll send you the video.
Probably should have just taken the beavers with you.
Fantastic.
At number 2, John Calipari will remain the head coach at the University of Kentucky amid several days of speculation in which many believed his job was in jeopardy. He met with AD Mitch Barnhart yesterday afternoon and learned he would return for the 2024-25 season. A report obtained by 247 today indicates the $33 million buyout was too costly for Kentucky.
The Beaver airdrop, by the way, was in 1948. It was not 1980. And it's great because it's got the video has your guy, he's doing the voice. And
looky here.
Here come the beavers falling down from the sky. Oh, watch out. Don't want to get hit with a beaver in the head.
That's what she said.
So Calipari staying at Kentucky? That's good.
All
right. Well,
I thought they were deluding themselves. I know they were upset. We've been there. Want the coach to go, but he's just not.
Do you think they put some feelers out behind the scenes just to kind of gauge interest in the job and weren't necessarily thrilled with the feedback?
Maybe so.
I don't know. I mean, $33 million, that's a lot of money. Like, I know everyone kept saying, oh, they've got the money. That's not a problem. Yeah. $33 million for a basketball coach, that's a lot.
That doesn't count what you're going to have to spend to bring the new staff
right
in.
Well, a couple things. It's not a lump sum.
So right, right, right. We talked about that.
It's
yeah.
like $6 million a year. But it's a sliding scale, right? It's not a ton. It's not inconceivable that you could pay that buyout if you've got – Scott Drew on the and he's going to come in here and fix it and you're right back. But if you don't know, and it's like, are we going to be hiring Dusty May or somebody like that, and I don't really know if that's a big step up from Calipari, then maybe you don't.
It's definitely a roll of the dice.
You don't write that big check if you don't have a much better option in your back pocket.
At number three, we'll stay in Kentucky for this one. Louisville has found itself a new coach and College of Charleston head coach Pat Kelsey, signing him to a five-year deal. Kelsey led the Cougars to consecutive NCAA tournaments in each of the last two seasons.
That was a pretty good hire. Not a big name or anything like that, but he had been a head coach for a long time. He was at Winthrop for, I think, 9 seasons before he went to Charleston. And won that league several times, lots of 20-win seasons there. Went to the tournament 3 times at Winthrop. Went to the tournament the past 2 years at Charleston. So this guy's a winner with lots of experience. A lot of energy, a lot of Southern ties. He had been, I think he's from Cincinnati and played and coached at Xavier. So he's familiar with that area of the country.
I'll tell you what's weird, though, is he was an assistant for Chris Mack, who was the coach at Louisville.
He was an assistant for Chris Mack at Xavier, right? At Louisville.
Right.
Was he coaching at Winthrop when we played him in the tournament?
No, that was Greg Marshall. Wasn't it?
Was it?
That was Wichita State.
No. We played Winthrop before Wichita, right? Who did we beat on the last second? That
was Winthrop. That was Winthrop. Who was the coach there then?
I'm pretty sure that was Greg Marshall. He didn't get to Winthrop until 2013.
You mean he didn't get to what?
He did not get to Winthrop until 2013. He was not there when we played them.
You're thinking Greg Marshall?
You're thinking of Greg Marshall.
No, I'm totally not. You're the only person who's mentioned Greg Marshall.
I thought Greg Marshall was the one that got Wichita State to the Final Four.
Greg Marshall was at Winthrop from 98 to 2007. He then went to Wichita State in 2007.
Greg Marshall was the coach at Winthrop when we beat them on the Chris Lofton buzzer beater. We then played Wichita, who was coached by somebody else at the time when they beat us. He was coached by Mark Turgeon at the time, who later went to Maryland.
I don't think I realized Greg Marshall was at Winthrop and then Wichita State.
Oh, yeah,
that's where the confusion came.
We tried to hire Greg Marshall when he was at Winthrop.
He wanted the job bad, and we were just like, nah.
He was evidently a very bad interviewer.
I've heard that.
Doesn't sound like he's a very
good person.
Yeah,
something happened there, too, at the end of his career at Wichita State.
Doesn't treat people very, very nice, it sounds like.
And finally, at number four, the NCAA has announced it is working to establish a nationwide ban on player prop bets. In a statement, President Charlie Baker said the NCAA is drawing the line on sports betting to protect student athletes and to protect the integrity of the game.
I guess he's got to do something. They didn't have time to file an appeal in the case against Tennessee.
But apparently they get extra time, according to the judge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that today.
I mean, are they going to do that?
I don't know. I don't know why he would give them extra time unless they requested it.
I just sort of assumed they were going to let it go because everybody had told them they were destined to lose.
Born to fail.
I don't have a strong opinion on the banning of prop bets. I could see why it would be a problem, but it just seems like everything that they are pursuing. My mind immediately goes to, well, is there any sort of legal challenge anybody could mount to this? And the answer is, of course. And the NCAA can't win in court, so it seems like just another futile attempt to do something by the NCAA.
This one makes a little bit more sense than not, you know, putting the cookies in the hotel room like they did a couple months ago.
Would this have an effect? It's just player props. So, like, my mind immediately goes to the Josh Heupel first half cover.
Spread.
We could still bet on those sorts of props.
It's individual players, which I don't have a big problem with this at the collegiate level, because to do that in the NBA, it's going to require millions of dollars to probably get a player to agree to that. In college, depending on the position, you can...
We'll do it for 12 bucks in our number one at McDonald's.
I think what they're worried about the NBA is that dude totally freelance that.
Right. They just don't want that in the college game, because it's a lot cheaper and it'd be a lot easier to, you know,
manipulate
a college kid.
They got put down $500,000 bet.
Thank you, Tucker. That is your top four at four as we get back to it here. Hour number two of the show. Tony Vitello coming up here in 1 hour on many of these fan-run affiliates. Looking forward to visiting with the head coach of the Volunteers. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. Today was also UT Football Pro Day. Not see a ton of...
Saw Joe ripping one.
Yeah, they're falling in love with him again.
Tale
as old as time.
Yeah, you've said it. We've all said it. All it's going to take is one of those NFL guys. Well, we could fix this.
4.55 40, apparently.
Pretty good for a guy his size.
He just gets right in the right system with the right coach, the right quarterback whisperer. They can fix Joe.
That's what they'll think.
A little more power to him, man. He's going to make $1 million.
If somebody could ever fix him, he'd win a Super Bowl probably.
Coach had just put him in second half, we'd have gone down state. Just know it.
That's that. Now the Joe dead enders. That's a pretty wild group. We know a few of them.
Do you know what happened 13 years ago today in Tennessee basketball history?
2011.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Pearl's last, is this the day we lost to Michigan, got blown out?
This is the day that Konzo Martin was introduced as Tennessee's 18th head basketball coach.
Wow.
Cool.
Score the ball. Tougher breed.
If only he had been introduced as Missouri State's head coach today as opposed to 2 days ago, that way we could have the whole overlap thing going on there.
13 years and he's on his fourth head coaching job.
And working his way backwards.
I mean, I like the guy. He seemed like a nice guy. And you know, he wasn't a good coach.
He wasn't a good enough coach to be taking over for Bruce Pearl at Tennessee after one of the more successful runs in program history. I would say above average, slightly above average coach. I mean, he's
in a great spot, Missouri State.
He's a great leader. He's not a great coach. Like, guys rally behind him. They trust him. He takes care of them. He teaches them. He grows them. But then
he's an okay recruiter. Does it the right way. No shady business.
Sure.
Good developer of young people and a very hard worker. Puts in the hours studying the film, putting in the game plan, coaching up and everything. He might have, like, honestly been too nice a guy to be in such a shady business.
Yeah.
It might be one of those things where it's like he's not willing to break a few eggs and get the players and do whatever cheating is necessary to get over that hump.
Yeah.
That was not a problem for Bruce Pearl.
Not a bit. Does not care.
Did you guys see Stevens recent podcast?
No. He's back at it.
Oh yeah.
He's like the podcast king.
He said if Chad Baker Mazzara isn't thrown out of that game, they win by 20. We are so much better than Drake. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
Yale.
But
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He did get kicked out of that game. You're an awful coach. It's been going on for a while with that kid.
Threw an elbow at a guy. You can't throw the people's elbow. You're going to get thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you intentionally throw your elbow into the chest of another player. You get thrown out at any level. NBA, 8 and under rec league, you're getting tossed. Yeah. That's what happens.
He's a crybaby.
Joke! Let's go to the phones. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Where's Larry there?
What's up, Philly?
Who was the coach you talking about there that was real nice and wasn't a great coach? Who was that?
Konzo Martin.
Oh, Konzo Martin?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a terrible recruiter.
Who did? I mean, I don't know about that, Phil.
Jay,
I mean,
Rich
brought us Josh Richardson, brought us Jarnell Stokes, recruited Michael Porter to Missouri.
Well,
I don't think you can say it's terrible.
He didn't do anything with him, did he?
Well, no. I mean, that. I get, well, this is where the coaching part comes in. It's like, yeah, he didn't have. No, he. I mean, the record is what the record
Jay
is.
Jay Rich is probably his most successful.
He was there 3 years and he didn't get a good point guard, and that's the reason why he was got the heck out of Dodge. I mean, he had a team that could have gone all the way into the Final Four if he had a point guard. But they had a good team, Stokes and McCray and Richardson.
Naaman.
Pretty dang good talent right there, you know.
He did finish one game over 500 at Missouri, which is surprising to me. I thought he was sub 500 there. 57% winning percentage over his career.
How many of those were NIT wins?
Went to the NIT once at Missouri State, twice at Tennessee, once at Cal, and did not go at Mizzou.
Oh, hmm.
Well, Stephen Pearl's going to be the next coach at Auburn, guys. You might as well get ready for it.
What?
Then you'll really be happy then.
I hear that is the succession plan.
What?
Seriously?
No.
Beat their brains
That's what everybody's talking about down there.
Stephen effing Pearl taking over for his daddy at Auburn.
Yeah.
Boy, you talk about a guy who's born on third base, acts like he hit a triple. That guy.
One thing about it, though, he's not Buck Pearl. You're not.
No, I mean, that's.
He's spoiled.
When is. You that's, know, that's I always throw out the example of when have you ever handed it to the next guy and it's worked out? Especially when it's the kid. Didn't Texas Tech try to do that with Pat Knight?
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted like a year or two.
Yeah, usually doesn't work out real good.
Did Oklahoma State ever get a coach? I see I thought I saw on the net last night that Billy Stett's favorite coach might be their next coach.
At where now?
Oklahoma State. Aren't they looking for a basketball coach?
They're looking at Grand Canyon's coach.
I've seen nothing, though. But Bryce Drew is a guy that's definitely looking to get back into the Power 5 rankings after failing at Vanderbilt.
So they got rid of Boynton?
Yeah.
From South Carolina?
I feel like that's a little bit unfair with everything that happened, though, because obviously the records were not good, but they were under some pretty serious NCAA scrutiny for something that happened, I think, when Travis Ford was there.
And a very minor thing, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Also, did you all see the news? Rob Lanier landed at Rice.
I did see that.
So he's staying in Texas.
BJ going to follow him?
I don't know.
Do you know who SMU may hire?
Somebody told me this, Phil, and I can't remember off the top of my head.
Andy Enfield at Southern Cal. That's the rumor right now.
Going from Dunk City to Southern Cal to SMU. How about that?
Yeah.
Boy, his career is not taking off like people thought it would at Southern Cal.
The SMU folks really deserve whoever they bring in to fall flat on their face, if we're being honest. They did Coach Lanier pretty dirty, I feel like.
I thought they were going to try and get Will Wade over there.
Evidently, Will Wade ain't going to leave, though. There's been all these jobs opening, and he's staying put. I don't know who's waiting to go. Tobey's waiting for Tennessee to come open.
Either that or people just aren't willing. I mean, he did get caught on an FBI wiretap. I realize it's totally legal now and everybody's doing it, but he did get caught on a wiretap.
Well,
and refused
I think Bill
Felker
caught on a wiretap. He's still coaching, right?
Yeah, there's a big difference between Bill Self and Will Wade.
Well, guys, y'all talked to Nagy there about us playing late and all that. I remember we played Ohio State. I thought it was a late night game on a Friday night, just like this one. And we won the game because I was down at the Last Chance watching it, you know, and had some entertainment on the side while I was watching the game.
You watched Tennessee beat Ohio State at the Last Chance. That's the Gentleman's Club on Alcoa
Highway. Alcoa Highway, I guess it's still there. I don't know. I haven't been down there in a long time.
Well, that sign,
name now.
I remember they used to have a sign that said 29 beautiful ladies and one ugly one.
Well, I'd say they're probably more ugly ones than our good ones now, you know.
Stretch Mark City, huh, Phil?
You said it, I didn't. I like Tennessee can win this game. It's a winnable game. We got to have some scoring from two or three people, and y'all talking about Gainey. Gainey's going to get wide open shots, so you better hit him.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to have some opportunities. Muscovy, Gainey, Triple J.
If he could just hit, what'd you say, Russ, like 8 to 10 points?
Well, I mean, you know, Creighton's a really good team. And we've had this conversation before throughout the season of, well, we don't really need out of Vescovi and Gainey and Triple J. They could just be our role players because we've got Connect, Ziegler, Adu. They can do the lion's share of the scoring. We don't really need much out. That doesn't apply this game. And it won't apply from here on out if we're able to win, you know, because you're going to be playing mm-hmm. the best of the best. And you're going to have to get something from everybody, man.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Not a ton.
You got to score enough to where you can be on the floor so that we can get out of you what we need to get out of you.
We can't have anybody these 0-for-6, 1-for-8 lines from the field. You got to be able to step up and at least make, you know, 30% of your threes, 40% of your field goal attempts.
And Gainey, Phil, he's our get-under-your-skin guy.
Well, he's played a little bit better the last two games, but he's not shot an excessive amount of shots like he's been doing. I'm scared that we'll put him on somebody like that Alexander guy who'll take him in the hole and take him, you know, school him.
Mm. Mm.
But, yeah. So y'all going to have Vitalo on next hour?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you one thing they need to do. Didn't Georgia sweep Alabama last week and Alabama beat us 2 out of 3?
Yes.
Well, that hitter for Georgia, I don't know what his name is, but he was hitting them against Tennessee last year. They better not even pitch to the guy.
Condon? Charlie Condon.
Yeah, he's good.
The guy's a future major leaguer. If Tennessee's as bad as Tennessee's pitching is, I wouldn't pitch to him.
We'll pass that along to Coach. Your scouting report,
Phil. You
agree
with me, though, before I get off there?
I mean, it depends on the situation, I would say. If you're up big and if it's a critical situation and there are a couple runners on and, you know, maybe just put him on and take your chances with the next guy. Or maybe just stick one in his ear hole. I don't know.
Well, either that or he'll do a pop-out and be out of the stadium. See you.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate the phone call. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. I watched some film on St. Thomas last night. Did my homework.
I need to go look at the film.
It's going
to
take some getting used to his name.
It is, yeah.
I keep thinking, really? What's going on down in the Virgin Islands?
Yeah. A good player, man.
Is he?
Yeah, he looks like Connect size-wise, mm-hmm. but he's got a really good mid-range game. Whoever gets him is going to automatically compare him to Connect, which probably isn't fair. But in the game I watched, they won at Montana,
mm-hmm.
and he had about 30 points and 20 rebounds. And a lot of that was just mid-range, just like 10-foot. I mean, I'm watching this thinking, man, this is a Barnes guy. Like, if he's got the mental makeup, if he can stand the hard coaching and put in the work and all that stuff, he's
– Yeah, if he's a fit.
If he's a basketball monk, which is kind of the formula for Barnes, then he would do really well here. But averaged, I think, 19-point-something points per game at – Northern Colorado, which is, I believe it's less than a point off whatever Dalton Connect was averaging.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. He's like 19.8. Connect was what, 20.3 or 20.2? Yeah.
So the coach at Northern Colorado, when he sees that St. Thomas is putting his name in the transfer portal, first of all, he can't be second that surprised. But second of all, he's got to be like, oh, come on! Really?
It'd be pretty rough if Tennessee.
Second year in a row? I have a great player.
It's Rick Barnes guy.
This guy.
Involuntarily becoming Tennessee's farm team out there in the mountains.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we can start coordinating this with them. If there's another.
Bring them in and have one of those early season games. We'll pay them enough to get their operating budget for the next couple
of
years.
I'm looking ahead to 2025, 2026. I mean, if there's a lightly regarded prospect who we think might develop and maybe he's a little bit of a late bloomer, we go ahead and place him in Northern Colorado.
Remember when
football coaches used to do that? Yeah. We placed a guy here. You go to Hutchinson Community College. You go to Hargrave Military Academy a year.
Tennessee Military Institute.
And we'll see if you can hold it together, get those grades up, and then we'll bring you to Tennessee.
And we used to have kids go to TMI? Remember that place?
No, that's what you say on the show. You give us TMI. Tucker thought that was amusing. I got the Tucker chuckle there. Where was TMI?
It's like halfway towards Chattanooga, around the Cleveland area, I think.
I've never heard of this. TMI? Tennessee Military?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was a kind of a military prep school.
Bear is right about this one. In Sweetwater, Tennessee, Tennessee Military Institute.
Bear's right about it. Like, I'm not right about most things.
How about who did we place at TMI?
Oh, God, I can't remember those
names.
Can
we get the TMI pipeline going again? Josh Heupel.
I don't even think it's – I think it closed.
If that's what I'm saying. We need to reopen it. Maybe that can be – we can put you in charge of that, the TMI project.
Or did it become the international school? You know, they had like an international high school when Denso and I think some of these other like foreign, like massive corporations started moving in heavy industry into the. I know they had a Japanese school for like.
In Sweetwater?
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty far out. South Carolina has a mysterious $1.8 billion in a bank account that they just became aware of.
The University of South Carolina?
No, the state.
Oh.
There's an account in a bank in the state of South Carolina with $1.8 billion
in it? $2 billion in it.
Whose money is
it? I don't know.
They can't forensically track how it got there?
Do I have any family in South Carolina?
State and private accountants are still trying to figure out where the cash came from and where it was supposed to go.
I'd be willing to bet that's that would sound to me like it probably belongs to somebody you really don't want to anger. And I'd just leave that alone.
I mean, it's in a state government account. Doesn't it belong to the people of South Carolina?
It's in a government account? I mean, there's no telling where that money came from.
Republican Senator Larry Grooms, who is leading a Senate panel investigating the problem, says, quote, "It's like going into your bank and the bank president tells you you have a lot of money in your vault, but we just don't know who it belongs to." The latest trouble with the state's books and two agencies typically led by elected officials that are in charge of making sure government accounts stay balanced. Oh, we should all have such problems, right? Last year, the elected Republican Comptroller General, the state's top accountant, resigned after his agency started double posting money in higher education accounts, leading to a $3.5 billion error that was all on paper. Problems started as the state shifted to computer systems in the 2010s.
They didn't start switching to computer systems till the 2010s.
Who did they have doing it? Like somebody's grandpa?
Like a ledger back there? Computers became a thing in the 80s.
And abacuses back there and everything. Some old guy in one of those green visor bank hats. Punching up on the calculator. Let's see. We brought in $1.5 million in taxes.
Whoever's money that is, if it's one person, you know they're sitting somewhere today like, how can I get my money now?
investigative accountants are still trying to untangle the mess, but it appears that every time the state's books were out of whack, money was shifted from somewhere into an account that helped balance it out. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Where'd the surplus come from?
I don't know, man. But I
really don't understand what it you know.
I mean, I think what he did, you put that in your, I don't know if their state finances, if they're in any sort of debt, or if you just, you pay that off, you give it back to the people.
$400 a citizen.
That'd be pretty cool. Is that what it comes out to?
I just did the math, yeah.
Yeah, $400 a citizen is your money. What would you spend your $400 on? I know it wouldn't be shoes.
No, it might be actually. Then I could afford them. Well, I don't know how that works. I mean, it'd be $400 to every person, but if you have to be 18 or older, that would take that number down. So it might be even more. It might be more like $600, $700. $700, you can do quite a bit with.
Kress is, if you're wondering where my little shoe
doing?
Comment.
What are you doing?
You don't want me to?
No, it's fine. I don't care.
It's really funny. It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you don't want.
No, go ahead.
You think
it's
this makes you no, look bad?
No, I really don't care.
I think it's funny.
I don't care. Okay.
You sound like you kind of do. I was just complimenting Kress on his new pair of shoes. He had a very nice looking pair of shoes, and the white soles are. He's clearly either not worn them before. They're either brand new, or he takes really good care of his shoes.
They're brand new.
And I compliment. I was like, those are some nice kicks, Kress. He says, they're brand new.
And then I told him myself.
I just bought them at Walmart yesterday.
For $13.
$13. You guys are all, you can't wear your flip-flops. You can't wear your flip-flops. It's a rule on the drive. And I'm like, okay, you want shoes? I'll give you shoes. We're moving in lock, stock, and barrel. Going to be in the pool. Going to be in the clubhouse. We're going to be all over that shuffleboard court.
I mean, they're, to be honest.
It looks like something Morty Seinfeld would wear.
If you had told me that you had bought, though, they were like $200 at Dillard's or wherever you buy, I would have been like, yeah, that they look fine.
I told Julia the same thing. I walked in and she's like, oh, those look good. And I was like, don't worry. $13. I've been looking for a pair of shoes like this, but that's the problem. They're all, oh, the Nike VaporMax Air Plus 32s. They're $280.
Oh.
Yeah, but here in 2 weeks, he's going to complain to us on air about how bad his feet hurt.
No. I'll just go get another pair.
I mean, for $13. Yeah.
Those things are terrible for your feet.
No, they got memory foam. They actually feel really good. Light as a feather. That's me moving my feet.
Was the Tiger team on his feet?
What are you doing?
I thought we were doing good here.
Let's not talk about Tiger Team.
Okay,
sorry. Tiger Team's got a big week and weekend.
Mm.
By the end of this weekend, you will appreciate
bow
the
down.
Tiger
bow
Team.
Bow down to the
you
Tiger
bow
Team.
Bow down.
Look at this. I got a little strap.
Yeah, it, no laces, dude.
Laceless.
It's amazing.
In and out.
And Velcro on those.
No, they still have those, though. The old, what are they?
For adults?
The old Avias, the Velcro ones.
Yeah.
I had Avias. A pair of those in high school.
At
Velcro
the Keds.
Shoes?
Yeah, they were fun.
The Keds with the little glow-in-the-dark logo on the side.
Do they still make, like, L.A. gear?
I'm not sure.
BK Knights.
Remember when Butch
yeah,
was shopping at
British
Stride Ride out
the
of the
mall? Tex.
Mm-hmm.
Is he those, remember, you remember Butch had those, like, abnormally small feet?
Well, he wore lifts in his shoes.
And he had tiny feet.
Yeah, he was like a size 8.
How did this turn into Butch Jones bashing?
Be kind.
You're talking about shoes. Stride Right. Coach Stride Right.
Be kind.
And a girdle. I'm told.
You kind of tell.
I also heard he used to, I don't know if I should say it.
Say it.
He used to chain smoke cherry Swisher
what?
Sweets.
Butch Jones?
Yeah. Cherry Swisher Sweets.
What?
Yeah, he would when he would get like real nervous, he would go into the underground.
Those little cigars, the plastic thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they said he would just Remember how he had to, like, that's why he had the microphone, because he yelled so much at practice that his throat gave out? Apparently that was the whole truth.
He was inhaling Cherry Swisher Sweets?
Years.
Butch Jones
loved
his ass!
That'll put you in the ground, dude.
Although, I got to say, my opinion of him would totally change if he had the gojones to light one of those up during the game. Just like over there, got his sweets.
Old school.
Swish of sweets. One behind his ear.
Like a Black and Mild.
Very similar.
I mean, it's just a different, yeah, it's exactly what it is, just different brand.
Do they still have McGregor's? That was at Kmart. I remember the McGregor's cleats.
Remember that. I remember, like, the cursive logo they had.
Yeah.
Those things are horrible.
When I was a little kid, we played soccer, and you either had – because all the parents would take you to Kmart to get your cleats. Nobody's going to take an 8-year-old to buy a nice pair of cleats, right? Mm-hmm. So you had the black I can't remember what the company was that made them. Yeah, the black ones or the white McGregor's. I always wanted the white McGregor's. Mom always went with the black cleats.
We always went to Athletic House and got Adidas.
Oh. Oh.
Well, I mean, it's just what everybody
Bougie
had.
Bear over here.
No, you just went to Athletic House. And that's what they had.
We went to Kmart.
Had black and white Adidas cleats. Not like they were fancy. Just black and white Adidas cleats, football cleats.
You're looking good, Chris. I'm serious. You could have told me, I bought these over at Men's Warehouse. They cost me $200. They're made from real alligators. I'd be like, that. Ooh.
Let me see them again,
what are they paying the Tiger team over
Stick
there?
Your foot up here
good
in
night.
The air.
You don't have to take it off. Woo!
Okay. Get your whiff of that. Really? Really?
I feel like it. I didn't think it was expensive.
Try that. I try and compliment you. Let the record show.
And fighting on the Tiger team.
865.
Representing.
I was getting my oil changed. I was looking around. I was like, I'll try these shoes.
I feel like you could, you know.
Get your oil changed at Walmart?
Oh, yeah, because then you can walk around and shop. You don't just have to wait
Which
there
Walmart
like an idiot.
Were you at?
That's actually a really good idea.
Walker Springs.
At what time today?
Yesterday.
Oh, I was at the Walker Springs Walmart today. Can't go to the Clinton Highway one anymore still.
546-8200, your number to get on the program with us this afternoon. 546-8200. It's Tennessee. It's Creighton. Friday night, a clash of wills. In the end, there can be only one Highlander, and there could be only one team moving on to the Elite Eight Sunday to take on the winner of Purdue and Gonzaga. Quick timeout. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on the drive, Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board. Joshy Boy is next. What's up, Joshy Boy?
Hey, W.
What's up?
How are you, Bear, Houston, and Tucker doing?
Doing well, thank you. Hope you are.
Good. I'm good. So, is anybody getting nervous for Friday?
You kidding? I'm a wreck right now.
I've been nervous for Friday since like January. I knew we were going to get this far. We're going to get to this moment, and now here we are.
Yeah. So we'll get to watch the baseball game before the basketball tips off Friday.
That will be a good distraction for that 3 hours after the show leading up to tip-off. I guess 4 hours after the show leading up to tip-off when – the nerves really start to settle in, because I won't be able to watch that Purdue Gonzaga game, I don't think. So, like, being able to watch a baseball game, which is a big game, but not the end of the world game, like, that will be a calming impact, hopefully.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about this series with Georgia this week? They're a pretty decent team.
Yeah. Swept Alabama. have maybe the best hitter in the conference, if not one of the best in the country.
They hit it well. If Tennessee doesn't have it going on the mound with the starters in this series, then I think you could see the launch pad of Lindsey Nelson really get active.
Yeah. Do they still have that one hitter for Georgia? I know they have Condon, but do they have, like, that Parks Harbor guy?
Let me check real quick, Joshy.
Okay.
That's a great baseball name, by the way. Parks Harbor.
They do not have him. They do have a kid named Paul Totes.
Pretty good.
Who's batting .396, and a guy named Slate Alford, who's batting .345.
That kid transferred in from Mississippi State, Slate Alford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got 8 home runs. They also have a guy batting .302, Dylan Goldstein, who has 9 home runs.
Gotcha. So, Russ, if we win Friday night, will you be doing VR, or will it be too late past your bedtime?
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just joking.
You call me soft? You think I'm soft?
No, you're not soft.
We'll be doing it. We'll be doing the thing. Voluntary reaction. If we tip off around 10:30, we'll start around 12:30. I'm putting a pot of coffee on. I'm watching some Tennessee baseball, and I'm putting in a full night's work Friday night.
There you go.
A labor of love, Joshy boy.
You care if I make a bold prediction?
A bold prediction or a bald prediction?
A bold prediction.
Okay, I don't want Tucker Harlan to lose his hair.
No. But Santiago Vescovi, he's gonna hit, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 three-pointers Friday. I think he finally shoots well from three-point range Friday.
Calling for the breakout, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We're going to need it.
It would be nice if he did.
Definitely going to need it.
That would be so heartwarming if Santi just goes off. When was the last time he had a big game?
He had 10 against, like, Vandy or somebody.
What was the last 20-point game?
Purdue?
Probably Maui.
Did he have a pretty nice game here when we played Alabama?
I don't remember him going off. I know Ganey had a nice game that game.
Yeah, he kept us in it in the first half. Let's see here.
Hey, Russ, question. So what's up with that Trey guy complaining on VR after the game that he couldn't get in fast enough? Trey's terrible takes.
I mean, we have – I don't know. I try to be nice to people, to be respectful of people's time, and we have a lot of people – we got people waiting to get on this show right now. We got when we're doing voluntary reaction, there's no limit of phone lines. So as soon as a game ends, I've got at least 20 people trying to get in, and it doesn't give me the order in which they requested. And on top of that, the icons are moving around.
Frequently shuffling around.
So I never know, like, unless I write it down, which I'll start doing that. I used to do that. I kind of got away from it. I try and remember. But it's just difficult, man. We try to serve the audience. We try to take care of people. We try to be nice. We try to be kind.
Be kind.
Yeah. Yeah, Russ, I want to say something out the door. Trey, stop complaining about your phone calls, how long it takes to get to your call. At least you get to call in, and stop taking a shot at my friend Roberto, because that's not nice. You need to say you're sorry, Trey. See ya.
Be kind.
I'm sorry.
Joshy boy with some strong words for Trey.
Are Trey and Roberto beefing now? Or is Joshy boy and Trey beefing?
Trey hinted that he was beefing with Roberto in his 7-point call the other day.
Beef season
but
is
then
here.
Then they apologized. People are getting,
we're deep in the tournament. People are getting all scattered.
It's getting beefy.
Yeah. My whole thing is that just because you have a beef with somebody doesn't mean you have to bring it on our show.
I'm sorry.
I don't come over to your house and fight with my wife.
That would be weird.
I'm sorry.
Hey, honey, you want to go fight over at Russell's tonight?
Yes, I heard he's making chili.
Let's do a change of scenes. I'm tired of fighting here. Let's go fight at somebody else's.
Santiago Vescovi, one game over 12 points on the season. Wow. 21 against Kansas. On 8 of 16 shooting, he was 5 of 11 from 3.
What's his next highest?
12. He's done it several times. He had 12 against Illinois, 12 against Tarleton.
I'll sign up for 12 from Santy right now.
12 against Vandy, 12 against Vandy again. That's it.
I feel like if he scored 12, Josiah gives us 9 and everybody else kind of does what they've been doing all year, we'll probably make the Final Four.
10 double-digit games on the season.
I want to go to the Final Four so bad, Russ. I can't see straight. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
I'd bite off my – I'd give a thumb. I'd give a thumb.
You'd give a thumb?
I'd give a thumb.
Left hand? Right hand?
I'd bite off your thumb for a Final Four.
Bite off my thumb. I watched that movie on YouTube, free movies, by the way. Some pretty good flicks on there.
They don't stay up for long.
I watched Reacher with Tom Cruise. Terrible.
Oh.
Really?
Just awful. But there's a scene where the guys, like the tough Russian guys, telling the story about how I was in the concentration camp in Siberia. I bit off my own finger. I don't know why he bit off his own finger. He bit off his fingers.
He ate his fingers.
And so he's telling the guy who's wronged him, he's like, you bite off your fingers, I'll let you live. And he's like, he's trying to do it. He starts to he's like, I can't do it. They kill him. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
He's terrible in that movie.
Absolutely. I would bite off I'd bite off a thumb. If it was going to get us to the Final Four right now, I kind of just crunch through that thing.
Would you go?
You don't think I would?
No.
What about Yokozuna?
Yokozuna?
Yeah, if we like cut off our pinkies.
I cut off my
like those Japanese gangsters. Yakuza.
I just told you I'd give a thumb. Hell yeah, I'd give a pinky. I probably should have started that. Bad negotiation by me.
Yeah,
it's actually not. Pinkies are where it's like something stupid percentage, like 70% of your grip strength comes from the pinky finger. If you don't have one, you don't have any grip.
I don't. You're going to have to give me the fact check on that. You would give up a pinky before an opposable thumb that you can actually grab stuff with?
I'd say it would be a hard choice. I'm saying you're probably not going to have a whole lot of grip strength without your thumb.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I mean, do I put the pole in the field? What are you want your thumb over the pinky?
Yes.
I think it would be a bad idea to lose either one. I'm not biting either one of them off for a Final Four.
You don't want it bad enough. You just said you, so bad you can't
see
straight.
Sacrifice a goat. I do some Santeria.
Okay, yeah, I'll kill something else. Very brave of you. What are you going to give? What are you willing to give up? How bad do you want it? I would start.
I would chop your finger off with a hatchet.
There are a lot of things I would do. I just want you to start paying attention to the clock at the end of the hour would be nice. Stay with us. Tucker's Top 5 at 5 coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.